The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. At the close of this teaching, please continue listening as we give you important information about Christians for Messiah Ministries. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins. This message, number 0059, is entitled, An Extraordinary Spirit.
Before we get into the Word of God, I would like to just address a few things with you. In the month of June, we had Bob Jones here with us while we were doing our conference on the restoration of Israel in the last days. And after that, we called Pastor Bob up here. And of course, most of you know he's a prophet of the Lord. And he said there are two reasons why this nation is blessed. One, because we care for the poor. More than any other nation in the world, we send out helpers and missionaries to the poor. In fact, Marge Phelps today is in Nepal, am I right? And there she is working with children and orphanages and schools because that is her heart. And her husband is here. I'm sure he's anxious to get her home, but she's a missionary today serving the Lord in the foreign fields. But this nation has more people going out to serve the poor in other nations, more money going out than all the other nations of the world put together. And because of that, the mercies of God are on America. He said there is two reasons why God's mercies rest on America. One is because we care for the poor, and the other is because we are connected with Israel and support Israel. And I want to take a moment just to talk with you about that before we get into the Word of God. One of the calls that Joy and I have on our life is to connect you with God's purpose for Israel in the last days. For as her revival comes, so will ours come. As her restoration comes, so will come the restoration of the church. Great ministers of the gospel going back for hundreds of years, including the Puritans and the Wesleys, and Spurgeon said, if you want to see the church come on fire, the church which now is somewhat weak and somewhat anemic and somewhat dry and somewhat ineffective. If you want to see it blaze forth in the power of God, then pray for Israel. For the scripture says that if her breaking away meant the reconciliation of the world, what will her coming back be but resurrection from the dead? And that will be a lively time, said Spurgeon, a time that will bring reformation to a whole new height. In fact, it will bring revivals around the world. So it is our place to help the Gentile church get connected with your roots, get connected with Israel. And we take a spiritual tour to Israel every February. We have some brochures out in the hallway, and this is more than a vacation. In fact, you will get restored as restoration or vacations are supposed to do, but in a different kind of way. This will be a spiritual upgrade, a supersizer for your life if you go to Israel, because there you will be connected with some spiritual things that you perhaps never understood before. There you will not only see the sites and the places where these things happen, but it seems that when you're in that place, the power of God comes upon you in a very special way. And I want to encourage you. We already have about 20 people who are registered for our trip. As you know, we only take one bus, so we're almost half full. And we really encourage you to join with us. And these are hand-picked sites. We don't go to the stained glass window churches in Israel. We go to the authentic sites, and each place there we unfold what the scripture says, what happened in this place. And when you touch that ground and when you are exposed to this dynamic, the power of God will come on you. You will cry. Your understanding of scripture will escalate as if you've had a university course, and you will never be the same again. And besides that, you're going to get to travel with Joy and I for 10 days. And we will pastor you as best we can during that time, pray over you, talk with you continuously, and just have a time of spiritual involvement and anointing. So come with us. If you've ever thought of going to Israel, this is the time to do it. right now there is a window of time where there's peace in the Middle East. And that is a rare commodity. As you know, they have been in war or some kind of war for 50 out of their 60 years of existence in Israel. That's because there's a battle over this land, because as she becomes fulfilled in the purposes of God, so the whole world comes into her inheritance, and that will usher in the return of the Lord, the destruction of the devil, and all of God's blessings coming upon the church. So there's so much that is bound up in our connection with Israel, and we encourage you to come and be a part of that. Please get one of those brochures. Now, I want to let you also know, Joy and I have been away for about 6 weeks, and we have been traveling the world. We have been to several nations, and also down in Florida, we have seen tremendous miracles. We have literally laid our hands on close to 2,000 people and prayed individually over them, breaking generational curses, seeing people delivered of demons, seeing many, many people come to Christ, teenagers weeping and giving their lives to God, pastors on the floor getting renewed as the Holy Spirit operated on their bodies. And we're coming home now just this week after this six-week kind of ministry extravaganza. And we're a bit tired, but we're here now for the whole of September. Today, I want to speak to you about an extraordinary spirit. Every one of you has a spirit. When God formed you in your mother's womb, he called you to life, and he put within you an eternal spirit. He has put eternity in every person. No creatures in all of God's creation are made like human beings. You've been made in God's likeness. You've been made as an artist, a creator. You've been made for greatness. You know, one day the Lord Jesus will return. And when he returns, nothing will be the same again. For the Bible says that you will be like him, for you will see him as he is. There will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more difficulties to speak of. In fact, everything that God has ever promised you, everything that was ever paid for in the cross, will become yours in that day. But in the meantime, you do not have to grovel around like those who are the tail and not the head, like those who are underneath and not above, like those who live in poverty or sickness or frustration or failure. For the Lord says that Satan has come to kill and to steal and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And you know, when he rose Lazarus from the dead, he came to Mary and Martha. And they said, if you had only been here, our brother would not have died. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall never die, but have eternal life. And that process begins the moment that you come in contact with the living God. But from that place, we experience the process of sanctification. And that is where we lose just the earthly things inside of us and gain the Christ-like things that he has for us. And as that change comes inside of us, everything becomes different. It is a lifetime work. I want to speak to you about having an extraordinary spirit. Not just an ordinary spirit. You should not be normal. You know that? You should not be average. You should be somewhat eccentric. You should be out there. You should be unusual. There should be something about you that is magnanimous, that is magnetic, that attracts other people. There should be a joy on your life that sparkles. There should be a wholesomeness about you that is attractive. There should be a righteousness in you that is deep and pure and unmovable. There should be a peace inside of you that could take you through a storm like this one that is coming named Gustav. There should be a difference about you now that you belong to the Lord. Open with me in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. And there we're going to discover a little bit about a man who had an extraordinary spirit. I'm reading to you out of the New American Standard. Usually I read and preach out of the NIV, but today I'm speaking out of the NAS, just because the language in this portion of Scripture is more pointed and powerful. And so I'm going to use the NAS. And it says here in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and governors because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. Would you say extraordinary spirit? Extraordinary spirit, not ordinary. He possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and governors began to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how great you are. We thank you for how special our champion and Lord Jesus is. We thank you for the precious companionship of your Holy Spirit. But Lord, I want to thank you for what you do with people, for how you take them and you don't leave them the same, for how your power changes even the worst of people to become Christ-like. And today we open our lives and we say, come, Holy Spirit, come and work inside of us to bring about the changes that cause our world to be changed, the changes that cause our families to be changed, our children to be changed, our community to be changed, our government to be changed. We love you, Lord, and we ask you to bring success now to the preaching of your word. I speak it in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many people in the scriptures who had an extraordinary spirit. This is not just Daniel, although we've read now that this man Daniel had an extraordinary spirit. But I think of Adam and when he was first made, and the Lord appointed him to name the animals and manage the garden. It was no small task. He had an extraordinary spirit till he fell. And then there was Enoch, who walked with God. The Bible says that he walked with God while everybody else was living to 1,000 years of age during those days. Enoch was 360 years old when the Bible says that God took him and he was no more. Why was that? Because no doubt he had an extraordinary spirit. And then I think of Noah, who walked with God, and when the whole world was to be judged in a flood, every person on the planet was to be destroyed. God said, but there is one man and his family who I will save and rescue from this flood. He was Noah. He had an extraordinary spirit. And then there was Abraham. Abraham said had such a faith that he left his father's home in the desert and traveled out not knowing where he was going, but because he had a call of God in his heart, and he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And he so walked with God that he blessed the whole world, and God called him the father of all those who would walk in faith. Abraham had an extraordinary spirit. And then there was Jacob. Jacob wrestled for his birthright. Jacob said, I want your blessings. Do you remember when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord? He said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And that angel said, let me go. The dawn is coming. The night is finished. Let me go. And Jacob said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. Jacob had an extraordinary spirit. And God changed the assignment over his life, changed his name, and called him a prince who had prevailed with God. There are so many people throughout the scriptures who had an extraordinary spirit. We think of the disciples who were just fishermen, tax collectors, carpenters, and average people just like us, whom the Lord called And he said, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He took those men, and they, in just a few short years, turned the world upside down. When the Pharisees and religious people and educated people looked at them and what they were doing, they said, how can these normal fishermen turn the world upside down? It's because they had an extraordinary spirit. And I want you to know that God is not a respecter of persons. He will give the extraordinary spirit to those who will dare to walk with him. It doesn't come from religious activity. You cannot earn or buy an extraordinary spirit. You cannot humble yourself enough to have an extraordinary spirit. I want you to know that when new believers come to Christ, sometimes there's some real special ones. Most new believers who come because they're wrecked. You know what I mean? They made some bad choices and they're in some addictions, or there's a failure in their marriage, or they're having struggles financially. Most people come to God out of desperation. And God heals them and fixes them and makes them princes and queens. But there are some people who come to Christ who look pretty good. Have you seen them? They are talented, gifted, serving, knowledgeable. They were out there in the world just a few months ago, and now they've come to Christ, and we say, yes! But I want you to know something, that even the best of the newcomers who come to Christ do not possess an extraordinary spirit. That's why the Bible says, do not put them into a place of leadership, lest they get puffed up with pride and fall. In fact, it doesn't take long for us to discover that newcomers still need a lot of Christ. And it is those people who walk with God through the difficulties of life, through the struggles of life, through the good times and the worst of times, who say, I will not be moved. God is my God, and I will walk with him. I will be intimate with him. My faith is grounded in him. Those are the people that God imparts an extraordinary spirit to. And Daniel was one of those people. Just think of him for a moment. The scripture tells us that when the Babylonians attacked Israel, they killed a lot of the people there. They enslaved a lot of the people there. But the king said, I want you to look out for the most brilliant men and women in the land of Israel and bring them back to Babylon as slaves so they can serve me here in Babylon. And they found one named Daniel. So Daniel was brilliant. He shone. Already as a youth, he stood out. You don't have to wait until you've got your doctorate degree to begin shining for Christ. You can shine for Christ when you're a teenager. And God can use you to turn your high school upside down for him. He can cause you to change the community that you live in while you're a teenager. In fact, God loves to use people who the world says are too young, are not educated enough, are not gifted enough, or in some way are looked down upon. That's why Paul said to Timothy, let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believer. And so he was just a youth, Daniel was, but he was brilliant. In those days in Israel, he studied the educational system of the day, and it was a study of the patriarchs, the scriptures. They already had some of the Old Testament scriptures in Daniel's day, including the book of Jeremiah. And he would have learned about the God of Abraham and Moses. And all of this was going inside of this young man. And all of a sudden, his nation was attacked. Judgment came down upon the people of Israel, and calamity came. And Daniel, instead of falling away from God, instead of becoming bitter, he probably saw his parents killed in front of him. He was taken as a slave to the land of his captors. He was castrated. He was given the name of a demon god and said, "You are no longer going to be called Daniel." He was forced to learn the Babylonish language and to infiltrate into their heathen culture. And then he was forced to serve the king of Babylon. Now, Daniel could have taken on a wounded spirit. Can you hear me? I mean, he had a lot of troubles here. He could have taken on a victim spirit. He could have taken on a depressed spirit. He could have taken on a broken spirit. He could have taken on a cynical spirit. He could have taken on a complaining spirit. He could have taken on a defeated spirit. He could have taken on an angry spirit. He could have taken on a vengeful spirit. He could have taken on a murderous spirit. He could have even taken on a suicidal spirit. But he kept a faith-filled spirit because when trouble came, he pressed into God. You can't find an extraordinary spirit by being a person who attends church. You cannot find this extraordinary spirit by doing all kinds of Christian activities. You cannot have an extraordinary spirit by paying your tithes. You can't have an extraordinary spirit by just being a really good Christian. There is only one way that you can get an extraordinary spirit, and it's because God gives it to you. It is a divine print of God on your life. It is an aspect of His holiness that He imparts to you if you will be His friend and if you will walk with Him in the midst of adversity and difficulty, if you cannot be moved, if your faith is such that it takes you through the worst of times and you still say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And if you're a man or a woman like that, let me tell you what will happen in time. You will start to glow. You will start to shine. I think of Daniel. The Bible says about him that three times a day, while he was there in that heathen culture, in that idol-worshipping place called Babylon, he opened his windows towards Jerusalem and gave thanks unto God. You cannot thank God in a situation like that unless you have faith in Him. And it is that faith that makes the difference. And that's what happened in Daniel's life. He was given an extraordinary spirit because he refused a victim spirit. He refused a murderous, vengeful spirit. He refused a pity party. And he said, "No, I'm a son of the living God. I'm a son of the covenant. I am on the Lord's side. I am on the winning side. Though the world comes against me, though demons attack, though storms come, I shall not be moved. For the Lord, my God, is the creator of heaven and earth, and He is my God." I don't know how his face must have looked if you would have saw Daniel. But I think if you would have come into a room with the king and all of his workers, you would have looked over, your head would have taken one of these double, you know, the kinds that give you a kind of a crick in your neck because you took a double look too quick. I think you would have looked at Daniel like that because he would have stood out in any crowd because of the glow of the Lord on his life. I think of a man that I visited. You know, Joy and I just came back from Bulgaria, a country that was under communist rule until 1989. And there are many people there who shone with the glory of God and had an extraordinary spirit. But I remember visiting a country while it was still under communist rule, Czechoslovakia, some 20 years ago. I went and stayed in the home of František Cezar, who was the pastor of the largest evangelical church in Bratislava. Billy Graham spoke in that church, and I was honored to go and speak there as well. And while I was staying with him, I learned that this man was taken regularly, once a week, into the police station for interrogation and often beatings. Sometimes he was left for dead, and his own people in the church had to come and take him and bring him home and heal him. And he would never speak ill of his accusers or the Communist Party. There was a minister of culture in the Communist Party. I can't remember his name. He told me his name. I'll just call him Prosciutto. But that wasn't his name. But Prosciutto was the minister of culture. And the minister of culture in the communist world was to destroy everything that had to do with religion, and especially Christianity. So he was in charge of keeping the persecution focused on the church. The church was not allowed to have any new land. They said, we believe in freedom of religion. And what that meant was the churches that existed could remain, but they could not witness outside of the church to anybody, nor could they advance or build new buildings or plant new churches. And so this was a real persecution against them, and those who tried to were imprisoned and beaten, and they suffered greatly. But František Cezar, he just had the people of his church always praying for the communist government. And he had to meet regularly with Prosciutto, who always put him down. But one day, the minister of culture, Prosciutto, came to him and said, I need your help. I have stolen 100,000 kronens from the Communist Party, and I am in trouble because they have discovered me. And they have given me 1 month to come up with 100,000 kronens, or else they will throw me in jail. Will you help me? He came to the pastor, to the head of the Evangelical Czech Brethren Church, for help. And František went to all of his churches, and he said, let's take up an offering for a Prosciutto. It's only money. Let's bless him. And the churches all across the nation took up an offering and raised 100,000 kronens, and he just gave it to him. Prosciutto began to cry, and everything changed from then on. Prosciutto came to him and said, you know that little church in the back streets that looks like a garage and has 100 people meeting in it, a dusty basement? He said, I want that land for the Communist Party. But because I'm taking your church, I will give you another property in the downtown square, an acre of size, and we will give you 1,000,000 kronens to build a new building for you. Because we're taking the church, because we want that property on the back streets of Bratislava. He did this all over the country. And during his place of leadership, the church, the Czech Brethren Church, all across Czechoslovakia grew and flourished. They set up little visitation booths inside the church so that when a university student was at the University of Bratislava and somebody noticed that they were glowing and said, why are you so happy? How come? What's different about you? He says, if you'll come to my church, I will tell you. And he would take them into one of these booths, not a confessional booth, but a witnessing booth. And they had witnessing booths all inside the church. It was legal to witness inside the church. So they would bring them in there, witness to them, and scores of young people from the universities were getting saved. And I remember how the story ended when František Cezar, who was at that time about 65 years of age, and he said to me, I remember when Prosciutto died, he called me to his bedside in the hospital. And he said, Pastor Cezar, when I die, I do not want a communist funeral. I want a Christian burial. And there he repented of his sins and gave his life to Jesus in František's arms and died in František's arms. I can see the picture now. If there was a newspaper in eternity, it would say, communist goes from pastor's arms to Jesus' arms. That's what happens when somebody has an extraordinary spirit. They change their world. They change their environment. You can't get it by working hard, but you get it when you walk with God through adversity and through difficulty and through pain and through suffering. If you will be that kind of person who says, I have faith in God. I'm standing. I am not for sale. I am not flinching. I am not compromising. I am walking with my Lord, and I'm pressing in to know him more intimately, more personally, more closely, then the power of the Lord will come on you, and you will have an extraordinary spirit. Let me tell you what happened to Daniel once the extraordinary spirit came upon him. I want to give you 10 things. One, he was filled with supernatural faith. The extraordinary spirit will fill you with extraordinary faith. Secondly, he received directional dreams. You know, Daniel had all of these dreams, and the dreams that he had were not just for his family or for his own personal life, but they were for the world. They were for the future. They were all about partnering in the kingdom of God. He had dreams that went through all of history. So that's what happens when you have an extraordinary spirit. And then third thing is that he was given a gift to interpret other people's dreams. You will get supernatural gifting once you have an extraordinary spirit. You will not just have natural abilities or talents or service abilities. You will have supernatural insight because of the power of the Holy Spirit on your life. The fourth thing is that when you get an extraordinary spirit, you will get the wisdom that comes from above. People will be asking you for advice. People will be saying, "Can I get some counsel from you? Would you meet with me?" Because there will be the wisdom that comes from above that will come to you. Daniel even counseled a king, a foreign king, an idol-worshipping king. The fifth thing that comes with an extraordinary spirit is favor, the favor of man. Well, there will be some people who want to kill you for sure. There will be many people who say, "That person is so valuable. I want them to manage my company. I want them." I think of this new vice president elect for the Republican Party, this new nominee, Sarah Palin. If you read about her story, it's absolutely amazing. First of all, I have to say she's a born-again Christian. She's a member of the Assemblies of God Pentecostal Church. She is so pro-life. I mean, it is absolutely amazing that they found her. They went way up to Alaska to find a lady. I am so glad that this person is a lady, because it shows that God can do anything, and he doesn't prefer men. He loves to use ladies as much as he loves to use men. And this lady started off with the PTA, with a parent-teacher association in our high school. She did so well with that that they elected her to the city council. And she did so well with that that they elected her to be mayor of her town. And she did so well with that that she came against abuse in the government, the state government, and she stood her ground against that and had those who were corrupt in state government removed, and then they elected her as governor of the state of Alaska. I think there is some favor on this lady. Perhaps she has an extraordinary spirit. And at this time in her life, she's only 44 years of age. And there were people who talked about her in April. Newt Gingrich talked about her on April the 3rd. Others talked about her in June, but the rest of the world didn't know about her. But the surprise came just this week when John McCain said, "My vice president nominee is Sarah Palin." And everybody said, "Who? What?" Because it was so out of the ordinary, and yet it was such a perfect fit and such a call of God. It's no wonder that Bob Jones came here and stood right here just a couple of months ago and said, "Pray for the next vice president of the United States. That's what's going to make all the difference." And it sure has already. I think this woman, although I don't know her personally and haven't seen enough of her to really make a proper kind of assessment, but she must have somewhat of an extraordinary spirit. I don't think it's her gifting. I don't think it's her talent. I don't think it's her forthrightness. I don't think it's all of those things that make her a good person. I think it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God that is on her life. The extraordinary spirit is for you. So the fifth thing is that Daniel was favored. It says that the king wanted to make Daniel head over all of his domain. The sixth thing is that he became a great leader, even to influence the three Hebrew boys who were thrown into the fiery furnace. They wouldn't budge either. And do you remember what happened to them when they were thrown in the fire? The king said, "Heat up that fire seven times hotter than it want to be." He said, "Make this thing so hot, I'm going to teach them a lesson." And when the people threw them in, the people who were throwing them in died because of the heat. But these three Hebrew boys walked around in the flames, untouched. And the king says, "It looks like there's a fourth one walking in the fire, and I think he's the Son of God." How do you get men like this? Well, there was a leader who had an extraordinary spirit, who said, "Come on up higher." He infected them. He led them. His name was Daniel. If you have an extraordinary spirit, you will for sure be a leader. And the seventh thing is that he was given supernatural courage. Some of you wonder what would happen if you had to go through the great tribulation period. What would happen if you were in a nation where Christians are being persecuted? Let me tell you something. Do not fear. Do not worry. Do not be afraid of the devil or of evil men or of wicked schemes or of persecution. For when you're in that place, if you've walked with God, you will have an extraordinary spirit. And with that will come an extraordinary courage. And you will smile in the face of adversity. You will not be afraid of death. You will ring the bell of victory, and you will sound the trumpet of God's sovereignty, even in the midst of disaster, because God will give you supernatural courage. The seventh thing that you get if you have an extraordinary spirit is angels. You get the accompaniment of angels. Several of them came and visited Daniel. I've had a few visit me in my dreams. Some of you have had angels visit you. It is not unusual. It is not spooky. The Lord says that you're going to see more of this. Remember what he said to Nathanael? He said, "Nathanael, an Israelite indeed." And Nathanael said, "How do you know me?" And he said, "I know you. I saw you when you were sitting under the sycamore tree." And he said, "I want you to know that you are going to see the heavens open and the angels descending and ascending upon the sons of men." And that is God's assignment. More and more angels are coming. And especially to those who have an extraordinary spirit. The ninth thing that an extraordinary spirit has is a powerful, world-changing testimony. Because of Daniel, what happened? The whole land was affected. His life was such a powerful testimony that everybody in the land, the scriptures were written about him. Today, our children hear about him in Sunday school. He went into the lion's den. The lions could not eat him. He had power with God, angels to protect him, and his testimony went forth. He became a patriarch. That's what a patriarch is, you know, or a matriarch. It's one who walks with God to the place where their life becomes a testimony that everybody says, "I want to be like great grandpa." My little Ethan, actually it's Elizabeth's little Ethan, our grandson, every time he sees me when I walk in the house, he goes, "Papa!" That's what he does. And then he comes running over to me, and he wants to hang out. And, you know, I trust that when that little boy becomes a man, he will honor and respect and admire me as much as he does now when he's a baby. That can only happen if I have an extraordinary spirit, so that when he's a teenager, with all of his struggles, he could say, "Yeah, but Grandpa. Yeah, but Grandpa." Let your life be that. "Yeah, but Grandma. Yeah, but Grandpa." The extraordinary spirit has that kind of testimony. And lastly, concerning Daniel, he was the reason why the king commanded everyone in the land to honor the God of Daniel. Because of his life, the king made a decree, said, everybody in my land shall honor this God of Daniel. Because he had an extraordinary spirit, and he changed the world. Because of him, there was a residue of godliness that was left in Babylon. That's why Nehemiah could rise up there. That's why Esther could rise up there. That's why Ezra could rise up from there. That's why there were wise men who traveled from Babylon over to worship the baby Jesus. Because years before, a man named Daniel said, I will walk with God no matter what it takes. I will walk with God. And God said, yes. And he put his Holy Spirit on him, an extraordinary spirit that changed the world and left an imprint for eternity. It's worth it, saints. It's worth walking with God. There's nothing more valuable, nothing more treasured, nothing more to prize than to have the anointing of God on your life so that your life makes a difference for your children, for your community, for this nation, and for this world. I'd like you to stand to your feet, and I'm going to pray for you that God would just anoint you in these days with his Spirit, and that he would put you on a path toward receiving an extraordinary spirit. And after we do that, I want us to pray for the people along the Gulf Coast. This storm that's coming in named Gustav, I was watching the news last night, and the mayor of New Orleans said, this is the mother of all storms that is coming directly at us 3 years after the first one. I know that some of these things are judgments from God because of the sin that is in our land. But I believe that God's mercy is greater than his judgment. And if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, forgive them of their sins, and heal their land. That's a promise from God, and I believe it with all my heart. Now, let's pray and just rededicate our lives to the Lord and ask for more of his precious Holy Spirit to come into our lives. And then let's join together and pray for God's mercies upon the Gulf Coast. Would you join with me? Would you say this prayer of rededication? Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness in my life. Thank you for saving me. Today I rededicate my life to you. Forgive me of my sins. And wash me afresh with the blood of Jesus. Lord, I open my life to you. And I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Let an extraordinary spirit rest on me. I commit myself to you and for your purpose in my life. And I receive your blessings on me, on my family, and on my community. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, would you just join hands with a person as we pray for God's mercy to come on the Gulf Coast? This is a serious matter, saints. Many people are in harm's way. There are the righteous and the wicked there. But we have a God who, above everything else, is merciful and compassionate and slow to anger and full of kindness. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is, as I pray, I want you to say amen, which means that you agree and you send forth this prayer for it to hit the target. So I'm going to pray, And would you just continue to say amen in agreement with me? Heavenly Father, I come to you today with these friends in this place, and we call upon your grace and your mercy as Gustav, this tremendous hurricane, hurls towards the coast of the United States of America. Lord, this is our watch. We are the people of God in this place. We are the salt of the earth, you called us. You called us to be a city upon a hill. And today, we join with heaven on behalf of the people who live upon the Gulf Coast. Lord, we ask for your mercy and your grace and your kindness and your compassion to come upon those people. Lord, I pray for supernatural anointing to come upon the Christians who live all along the Gulf Coast. Lord, I pray for a spirit of readiness to be in the people. Lord, I pray that through all of these things, we would see miracles. We would see the power of God. We would see the shielding power of angels and the workforce of heaven. Lord, we come to you in agreement for your assignments on this nation. Lord, we know that there are judgments. Lord, we ask that you would do that in such a way to produce your desired end product. But Lord, we ask in the middle of it all, may mercy overcome judgment. We ask it now for your glory. We ask it together in faith in the name of Jesus our Lord. And everybody said amen, amen. Hallelujah. 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 We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Amen.
If after hearing this message you would like prayer or further information about our ministry, email Dr. Peter Wins at winsusa@comporium.net. That's WYNSUSA@comporium.net. For additional teaching and other CMM resources, visit our websites at peterwins.org or unexpectedfire.com. Your financial contributions help this ministry continue. Your support is greatly appreciated. For tax receipts, send donations to Christians for Messiah Ministries, P.O. Box 36324, Rock Hill, South Carolina, 29732. We hope that you have enjoyed this powerful teaching by Dr. Peter Wins. We trust that it has taught you in the ways of the Lord, that it has helped to train you to be a better disciple, and that because of this teaching, you will receive more of God's blessings and favor on your life. From all of us here at CMM to all of you who are listening, we extend God's richest blessings.